Let's bring our man G Scott from 710 ESPN into this conversation. G, my man, usually we are fired up for Friday because it is payday every second Friday, and usually it means good things heading into the weekend. But it's tough to be super excited based on what we saw last night with all the injuries, right?
Pyrrhic victory is what last night
well
was.
Put.
Pyrrhic
well put.
Victory. And when you say Pyrrhic, that's from the standpoint of when you actually win. But even afterwards, it's kind of like a hollow. You kind of lost a lot even in the victory. And, you know, you can hear it in my voice because I feel worse today after a win than I did after the Seahawks loss on Sunday against the Washington Redskins. And here's why. Last week, you knew, well, they're going to fix that. You could see a fix. No matter what, it was a tough game. No, they weren't supposed to lose that game at home. But you knew that the Seahawks would bounce back. You know this team and how they bounce back, because for the last 5-6 years, we're so used to seeing this Seahawks team bounce back and get back on track. And they did that last night on Thursday, but in a way in which they lost one of the greatest cornerbacks to ever play the game in Richard Sherman. And I'm going to be very, very honest when I say this. There is no next man up when you're talking about Richard Sherman. Yes, probably Jay Lane will have to fill the void, but you're talking about Richard Sherman. Let me take 517 snaps that Richard Sherman has not been in since 2011. He's only missed 517 snaps since 2011. Man, it's just a rough time, man. And you're talking about an emotional leader in that locker room. You're talking about a phenomenal player out there on the football field. And as you can look on social media and you can see not just his teammates, not just the fans, but the rest of the NFL is taking this hit, this injury, really hard.
So how much does this affect their Super Bowl odds, do you think? Like, is this a massive blow? Can they still be a contender?
They're still a contender. They're still a contender. I mean, you're asking for things to all kind of mount up and come together a little bit. You're talking about you lost your starting left tackle to start the season and George Fant. Had to make some moves, and finally you got Dwayne Brown in. Dwayne Brown had an ankle injury yesterday. I do think he'll be back, though. I mean, we're just going to wait and see about that. You lost Chris Carson, your best running back. You can clearly see the running back situation has been hurt because of losing out on a Chris Carson, who was a rookie seventh-round pick, but it was a diamond in the rough. You lost Cliff Avril. And we don't know if he's going to come back this season. And now Richard Sherman. Are the Seahawks still contenders? Yeah. Is the confidence, you know, a little bit, you know, down a little bit as I talk about it? Yeah. But they still have Russell Wilson. And so when you have Russell Wilson as a quarterback, which is the number one position on the football field, when you still have action there, then, hey, you still got action.
G, talk to us about your thoughts on Thursday night football. Richard Sherman has been publicly very outspoken against Thursday nights and players coming in with short rest times. I think it was 10 Seahawks players having to come out of the lineup last night because they were either getting checked on, and 6 of those players, including Richard, not being able to come back because of those said injuries. So where do you sit with Thursday night?
I never liked it. Mm-hmm. I never liked it, and I talked about this with Richard Sherman before. And he even talked about his take. And if you go back to a take that he had in his Players Tribune, he wrote this back in December of 2016. Here's a quote in which he wrote, "I just don't understand why the NFL says it's taking a stand. Sorry about that. I just don't understand why the NFL says it's taking a stand on player safety, then increases the risk its players face by making them play on Thursday before their bodies are ready. My Seahawks teammates and I are playing in one of the last Thursday night games of the season this week, so we're one of the last teams to be exploited in 2016, one of the last to be taken advantage of." That was Sherman.
in his own words, just shy of a year ago, and here he is. Look at all the players that were losing out on these injuries. They just played on Sunday. In that game that Richard Sherman's talking about, he's talking about one in which the Seahawks, when they traveled back, they didn't get back till 1:30 in the morning on Thursday. 1:30 in the morning on Thursday, Tuesday, Wednesday, play on Thursday. And so they just played on Sunday. You're talking about NFL football being played less than 7 days apart. I'll ask you, you guys think that's safe?
No, man. I've been strongly against Thursday night for a while now, but Sat brought up a good point. Maybe having adding another bye week to the schedule, making it an 18-game schedule, and then having all Thursday night games coming off a bye week for teams so that you have at least 10 days plus of resting opportunity.
I like that idea. Mm-hmm. I really, really like that idea. And the crazy thing is I'm quite sure that somebody within the NFL has probably thought of that idea. But why they don't do it, I don't know.
Well, isn't that the thing, though? I mean, we talk about player safety, but the NFL wants to have it both ways, right? I mean, now all of a sudden the Seahawks are under the gun because apparently they did not follow the proper concussion protocol with Russell Wilson last night. So now they could be in trouble with the NFL, could face discipline. But isn't that hypocritical based on them forcing teams to play these Thursday night games based on 3 days rest?
It's a lot of hypocrisy that goes on. I did hear a little bit about the whole Russell Wilson and the concussion protocol, and we'll wait to see about that. I'm quite sure when they look into it, it'll be nothing. If there's one thing that you cannot accuse the Seahawks of, is bringing a player back out there when they're not supposed to. You want me to give you an example? I'll give you a clear-cut example of when the Seahawks put the player's safety above winning. You want to talk about what was going on in Super Bowl 49 when they did not bring Cliff Averill back into the game?
Right.
What would have, if Cliff Averill's back in that game, we're probably having a different conversation about Super Bowl 49 and the result. So, yes, the Seahawks, I have all the confidence in the world that the Seahawks and their staff put the health of their players above winning.
So, what do you think Pete Carroll is going to do to get all these guys rallied together here? Because he usually is a guy that gets everybody on the same page. And you just said losing Richard Sherman is massive because of the emotional leader he is on that team. How does Pete Carroll get all these guys to buy in and to have that us against the world mentality?
Well, they all bought in and they all believed in Pete before all this happened. And that's what's special about Pete. When I talk to the players all the time, and I talk about this, in life, people don't care how much you know until they find out how much you care. Pete Carroll's greatest strength as a coach and head coach for the Seattle Seahawks is his ability to let his players know how much he cares. And that's why they follow him. That's why all of these players that are making all of this money play so hard. That's why Richard Sherman at the end of his press conference post-game last night, that's why he was emotional. If you think about it, Richard Sherman makes a lot of money. He don't play for the money. He plays for the love for his team, love for his city. And so you ask what Pete Carroll's going to do, he's going to do the same thing that he does day in and day out. And this is why he's going to be the one that's going to rally this team together. See, that's why they don't hire folks like me. I'm too emotional. You know what I mean? You guys can clearly hear it in my voice. I wouldn't be the best person in the world to stand up in front of a team. But if there's one coach in the National Football League that's able to do it, I'll put my money on Pete.
AG, talk to us about the trade with the Houston Texans. Dwayne Brown rolled his ankle last night, did not return to the game. But even more importantly, the fact that Jeremy Lane failing his physical means that he can provide cornerback relief for the Seahawks here.
Yeah, I said it on Twitter right after he failed that physical. I said, I believe that this is going to be a blessing in disguise. And the reason why I said that, and this is the reason why I didn't think that Jeremy Lane should be traded in the first place, because you just never know when you're talking about depth. You know, everybody's been waiting for Deshaun Shedd to come back, and we don't know what's going on there. But having Jay Lane here, having that experience that he has is, I mean, he won't replace Richard Sherman. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
And you're clearly going to see quarterbacks are going to be chomping at the bit to finally be able to throw on that side of the field. But at the same time, hey,
it's very good that they had some depth. Now, you're talking about you have a rookie on one side, and now you have somebody in Jay Lane who has experience, but he doesn't have this type of experience when it comes to being out there on the island for an extended amount of time. So it's good to have him, but we're going to see how this goes going forward. If the good news is some of their next toughest games, it's a good thing they're at home, right?
Right.
You got the Atlanta Falcons at home. You go on a road Thanksgiving weekend to San Francisco, you come back home against another tough team in the Eagles. So it's a good thing those tough games are at home.
Well, yeah, they play the Falcons on the 20th, Monday Night Football, so they pretty much get 10 days off here before they play again. And I wanted to ask you this, because we do expect Earl Thomas to be back for that game. Which player means more to that secondary, Sherman or Thomas? And could Thomas coming back help cover up some of the deficiencies without having Sherman there?
Earl Thomas is the LeBron James of the Seahawks.
Right.
What I mean by that is LeBron James should be the MVP in the NBA every single year. You take LeBron James off a team, and that team is the worst. You put LeBron James on it, you got action at winning the championship. Same thing when you're talking Earl Thomas. When Earl Thomas is out there on the field, a lot of times we don't even really notice all the stuff that Earl Thomas does. You might see some big plays here and there, but Earl Thomas is constantly changing the dynamics of that defense, him being out there on the field. So last year, when they lost him last year, it hurt. So I don't know, it's apples and oranges to say which one's more important, but now that Sherm is out, oh, you best believe having Earl back is everything, and he needs to be back, not now, but right now.
TGIF, I know it wasn't the best Friday, but the weekend is here. The Seahawks can still put this all together, Jeep. Appreciate you giving us some time here. Let today sort of wash off, and the Seahawks should still be all right. Okay, my man?
Hey, I appreciate you guys, and I promise you next Friday, for all your listeners, I'll come back with a little bit more juice.
Oh, you know, listen, but you can't fake it, right? You got to be true. You always bring
it, baby.
You always say you keep it 100, and you did again today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Talk to you, brother.
You got it. That is G. Scott from 710 ESPN.